Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs it by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he was brought out of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand and what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Thank you, Beth. Well, I wonder what you make of those words of Jesus this morning. I wonder how they sound to you. Here at Harborne Baptist Church, we've been following the story of Jesus, reading in John's Gospel over the past few weeks. But I know there are guests among us today who haven't been with us. And so just let me say that every week we've been asking, what does this part of John's Gospel tell us about the story of Jesus? And what difference his story can make in our lives, our stories today. And the passage that Beth just read has verse 10, John 10, 10, which is a verse that jumps out at me every time I read it or hear it read, where Jesus says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus comes to offer life, life to the full. And this morning we've been celebrating life, haven't we? We've been rejoicing with a family, welcoming a new baby girl. I love those words that James wrote for faith, words that speak of the wonder and the power of life in ways that we can barely comprehend. And we've seen this image, this picture of faith. Let's put it on the screen again, because why not? Such amazing amounts of joy in such a little tiny person. And this morning we've witnessed, haven't we, one of the most precious and sacred, wonderful affirmations of life as we welcome a small baby and celebrate this new life. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life." And yet, I wish this wasn't so, but there's a second part, isn't there, to John 10:10, the polar opposite of life. We move to the next picture, Jane. The stealing and the killing and the destroying. And I'm sure many of us have been following and watching and seeing the news this past week. One of the most shocking images that we've seen, this picture or pictures like it, of a maternity hospital in Mariupol in Ukraine that was attacked last week. And rightly, this attack was condemned as one of the worst war crimes imaginable. And friends, this morning we are sat here in a world where those two images sit side by side. Powerful, emotive images that represent our reality A world where we celebrate, but also we mourn. Where we laugh and we cry. Where we hope and we despair, sometimes in the same moment. And so what does it mean this morning that we are here listening, hearing the words of Jesus? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've come that they may have life. And I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about this saying of Jesus and what it might mean for us. And firstly, just notice that Jesus doesn't speak those words in a vacuum. He doesn't speak about some far off, detached, spiritual future reality, some eternal life. He says, I have come here that they may have life now. And last Sunday we saw what's happened just before this, that Jesus has healed a man born blind and restored to that man dignity and purpose and life here and now. In Jesus, God has moved in to the neighborhood. Jesus comes to offer life that makes a difference now. And the pictures in this passage we heard read that Jesus uses, they're all, for people hearing them the first time, very ordinary, everyday pictures. Sheep, shepherds, a sheepfold, a gate, gatekeeper. These are the daily experience of those who were listening to Jesus speaking these words. Jesus is saying, this life that I'm offering is to make a difference now and here in the places and the situations that you face. And so this morning, I want us to hear that Jesus comes to offer life in the middle of a broken world. A world that may feel increasingly uncertain to you and to me. Precarious, where there are thieves and robbers and wolves, those who would come to steal and kill and destroy. And I'm not going to try and identify people or groups, but simply recognize the brokenness of the world around us, where life is under threat. And how vulnerable those sheep seem, don't they, in a world of threats? How vulnerable little baby Faith seems in a world of threats? How vulnerable we seem in a world of wars and pandemics and economic uncertainties? How fragile all of this seems. And it may be that you're here this morning and for whatever reason, life feels particularly broken for you today. Perhaps your health or the health of those around you. Perhaps worries about the future, exams or work or bills going up, whatever it might be. We're painfully aware that we are in the middle of a broken world. Well, let's hear then the offer that Jesus makes this morning. The offer of life in the middle of a broken world, in a world that may feel uncertain and chaotic and sometimes violent. That is where Jesus speaks these words, offering life. But who is the they in that sentence? I've come that they may have life. Is it just for a small, deserving few that Jesus offers life to? Those who've passed some sort of exam, those who've lived a good life, those who've worked hard to be chosen. Well, over the last few weeks here at church, we've been reading about some of the characters that Jesus meets, some of those he encounters, the wedding guests back in chapter 2, and all they'd done was show up to a wedding, and now they had the best wine overflowing. The Jewish leader, Nicodemus, in chapter 3, the Samaritan woman at the well in chapter 4, those 5,000 plus people who just come to hear Jesus and were fed with more than they could eat. These people were from all different walks of life, men and women, rich and poor, Jewish and non-Jewish people. The only thing that they had in common was that they encountered Jesus, that Jesus met them and invites them to be part of his story. The relationship with Jesus, that is the key. That is the key. And in John 10 and verse 3, we read about this shepherd who calls his sheep, his own sheep, by name, who knows them by name. And they hear his voice and they recognize and they follow. And that's a picture of how Jesus offers life to those he calls by name. Not just a selected few, But as we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus comes to offer life to those invited by name. Now, we've thought about some names this morning. We've written some names up on the cradle roll there where Sarah is with Faith right now. And names are important. They say something deep and important about who we are. Those are carefully chosen names that Faith has been given for a reason. You might want to talk with them more and find out some of the backgrounds. But actually, even before, Sarah and James had thought up those names and decided on those particular names, God already knew Faith's name. Becky read for us earlier, Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And friends, hear this wonderful truth today. God not only knew Faith's name before she was born, she knew your and my name too. However long ago that might seem to you now, the moment you were born, before the moment you were born, God knew your name. God knows your name. And Jesus comes to offer life to those invited by name. And that includes you and me. Not just a special few. Here at Harborne Baptist Church, we're a group of people who have encountered, who've met Jesus and are seeking to respond, to hear his voice and to follow him. And it may be that some of us are here this morning and we're not sure that anyone really knows us. Maybe they know our name, maybe not even our name. Well, the good news of this passage that Jesus is the good shepherd who calls his sheep by name, including you and including me. But then finally, what is this life that Jesus is talking about, that I'm talking about here? Life in all its fullness. What does that mean? Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. Well, the Bible gives us a lot of pictures of what that means in different people's lives. Last week we saw one, the man born blind who was healed when he met Jesus. Some of those stories are dramatic, others are less dramatic. But they all involve one incredibly important thing. A connection, a relationship with God, opened up by Jesus for us. And John 10 and verse 9 says this. Jesus says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And that's a beautiful picture of sheep coming and going in safety and freedom, free of the dangers of the wolves and the robbers and the thieves, to find what they need to survive and thrive. Now, every person here this morning who's a follower of Jesus will have their own story of what life in all its fullness means for them. And if you are wondering the detail of that, maybe ask somebody what it means to them. We'd love to talk to you more about that. But as a church, we are a group of people, as I've said, attempting to follow Jesus and discovering more about what this life in all its fullness really means for us. And above all, we were singing at the beginning, forever God is with us. The reassurance that we are never alone, that we have this connection, this relationship with God that does not break down, that is always there. And as Jesus says toward the end of this passage, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And this image we have at the front here, this cross that we have on our wall, we say this is our reassurance that Jesus will never leave us, that he went as far as a cross to give us this freedom, this life in all its fullness. And this time next Sunday, we'll be celebrating new life here again because we have two people who are going to be baptized, who are going to be recognizing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who've taken that decision to accept this offer of life in all its fullness. I want to invite you to be here, to join us next Sunday, especially perhaps if you've never seen what happens at a baptism service. We'll be here next Sunday to do that and invite you to join us as we celebrate Jesus comes to offer life in the middle of a broken world to those invited by name, which includes you and me. Life in all of its fullness. Life that knows forever God is with us. And that's not something that we can do by ourselves, that we can earn ourselves. And our final song that we're going to sing together now, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." We've been celebrating life this morning, and we celebrate as we finish the wonderful, amazing truth that that life is available for us, not because of our goodness or our work or our effort, but because of what Jesus has done for us. So if you're able to stand, please do so as we sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."